Good evening, everybody. My name's Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at St. Aidan's, and it's so good to see you all here. A big welcome to you if you are new or visiting with us tonight. I hope that indeed, even though it's cold and damp outside, this can be a warm time for us together. And I wonder where it is that you find life. Where is it that you find life, true life? Because this seems to be one of the big questions of our age. If Facebook and Instagram are anything to go by, everybody seems to be searching for life, for the thing, the experience, the philosophy, the relationship that will give them life. In fact, it seems that social media is really, mostly, only ever used for two things. It gives people an opportunity to be mean to each other, or to post nasty or sarcastic posts, or to show off the latest and greatest idea that they feel gives them true life, the latest and greatest experience or philosophy that gives them, they feel gives them life. I'm wondering if you know the sorts of posts that I'm talking about here. Everybody, it seems, is hunting for true life. So where do you find it? Where do you find it? Now, there are heaps of people out there, heaps of ideas out there, heaps of philosophies out there that claim to offer true life, your best life or authentic life or however you want to put it. And they're so ingrained in our society that we don't even notice that that's what they're doing. Let me give you an example. This one's a bit easy. Let me give you an example. Coca-Cola. You might think that Coke is just a soft drink. You, my friend, are wrong. Coke is life, isn't it? Coke brings your dreams to life. Coke creates good times for you, your family, your friends. Coke refreshes your soul. Coke brings happiness, guaranteed. Coke brings life. We laugh. But this is how Coke positions itself. This is how Coke is advertised. This is how they want you to feel as you see the ads, as summer comes and you see these ads on TV. They want you to associate this feeling of true life with a bottle of brown stuff. And we know that it doesn't really deliver on these promises, does it? Coke does not give you life. Coke is more likely to give you diabetes and an early death. But that is how advertisers are selling Coke to you and to me. And you know what? It works a little bit. It gets just a little bit into our heads and we think, yeah, that will make my day just that little bit better. Now, Coke is really obvious. That's the really obvious one. There are thousands of other people and products and ideas and philosophies that are trying to grab our attention and claim to offer us life, true life. But which one is right? Where can we find this true, authentic life? Well, thankfully, John's Gospel has the answer for us. Over the first half of this year, we've been slowly making our way through the first six chapters of John. And we've seen the incredible things that Jesus said and he did. Again and again, in his words and his actions, Jesus shows that he brings true life to this world that is really marred by death. We see that Jesus created all life, that he is God in human form, in flesh, that he brings God's victory over death, that he offers living water that he is the bread of life, and so much more, again and again and again. And John, who wrote these things down, was an eyewitness. He heard Jesus make these claims. He saw Jesus do these things, and he says in John chapter 20, verse 31, that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus brings life. But, is Jesus just one source of life among many? Is Jesus just one source of life among many? And I fear that I, and probably you, may start to think this as time goes on. I fear that I start to take on this idea that Jesus is one source of life among many. Well, as we come to our final passage in John for this year, we will see that there is only one source of true life, and everything else is a counterfeit. So in our passage today that was read for us, we're going to see one big clear question, and we're going to see one clear warning. Firstly, the question, do you find your life in Jesus Christ? Last week, we saw Jesus teaching the crowds. By this point in his ministry, Jesus was super famous. Huge crowds were flocking around the countryside to see him. Thousands of people were coming to check him out and see the things he was doing and hearing what he had to say. And he had just miraculously fed thousands of people with bread and fish in the middle of the wilderness. He had the crowds in the palm of his hand. They wanted to make him king. He could have done anything with their support. He was so popular. But as we'll see, Jesus wasn't interested in their popularity. He was about something much bigger. Have a look, have the passage open. John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. Jesus had been teaching, telling the crowds that he was bread from heaven, that they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood if they wanted true life. And see what happens in verse 60. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Some might say that Jesus' advertising was not quite as good as Coke's at this point. You see, Jesus was sacrificing his popularity by saying something that was really unpopular, some really controversial things that people didn't want to hear. He started hinting that he, this popular figure, was going to die. He started hinting that it was going to be by his mangled and broken body that people could have life, that it was going to be by his blood that would be spilled out on the ground that people could have life. And the crowds thought, we don't want this kind of life. We don't want life that comes from this man dying. That makes no sense to us. We don't want any part of this. In fact, they were offended at the idea of it. And Jesus could tell that they were offended at the idea of it. Have a look there in verse 61. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there were some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." You see, the crowds were offended at the very idea that Jesus would give them life by dying. That makes no sense. Who wants any kind of life that this man has to offer? He obviously cannot deliver on it. they thought. They didn't think that Jesus was someone who could do this, who could give them anything that they actually needed in his own death. They were offended. And Jesus said, "You're offended at this? You don't think I can do this? You think me just being a man, you're just looking at me and all you see is a man. How can a man do this for you? You don't know that I can ascend and be in heaven with the Father. How would you feel about seeing that?" Jesus says. You see, the crowds were seeing Jesus purely with their eyes. He looked like a guy who was influential, who was offering some kind of maybe freedom from the Romans. He was offering free bread, and they thought, yes, we can get on board with this. But Jesus says, no, to understand him properly, you need to see him spiritually. And if you do not see him with the help of the Spirit, you will not see the truth. And the crowds? Well, they deserted him. Have a look there in verse 66. "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." They just disappeared. The thousands upon thousands of people that had just been with Jesus in the wilderness, that had just been fed by him, that had just walked all the way around the lake to find him again, heard the claims he was making and said, "Nah, we are done with you, Jesus. You cannot do what you say you want to do. We don't want what it is that you're offering." And they left. And so Jesus left with his 12 friends. Asked them, are they going to leave as well? Can you imagine the scene? See there in verse 67? "You don't want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. These last remnant, these last remaining people who were there with him. "You don't want to leave too? You're free to go." But Peter answered. You see, Peter saw that there was something different about Jesus. Not just that he was the great miracle worker, not that he was just a great influential kind of guy, but Peter saw spiritually. He saw the truth about Jesus, that Jesus offered something that no one else could offer. He offered life. See what Peter says there in verse 68? Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Lord, he says, where else can we go? We need life. We need the life that only you offer. No one else is offering what it is that you offer. Peter saw it. The claims that of life that other people or philosophies or teachings or religions or ideas or experiences offered, they did not stack up. There was nowhere else that he could go for life. Nowhere else. So he threw his lot in with Jesus. Peter found life in this man. But what about now? Can you and I, 2,000 years later, can we really find true life in Jesus? Is there really no one else and nothing else that offers life like him? Well, for us to assess this, we have to think, what are the offers of life that come at us from our culture? What are the offers of life, the promises of life that are so ingrained in the way that we think, the way that our society thinks, that are so subtle that we don't even notice that they offer life and we chase after them? I'm going to list a few out here, and I wonder if any of these resonate with you. Education. I know there are some teachers in the house tonight. Education is often held up as a foundation for life, a pillar for true, authentic, good life. You see, education sets you up for your career. Education moves you up in the world. Education can solve the world's problems. Week after week, month after month, we hear that if only people were better educated on this issue or that issue, all these issues and problems would be solved. It promises us a surefire way to a better life. And so much so that we worry that if our kids maybe aren't in the best schools, maybe they won't amount to as much. We worry that if we don't make it into the best course, to do the best study, we won't amount to as much. Our life will not quite achieve the peak that we'd hope for. If we don't get enough marks in our HSC, then our life will be affected. Education offers life. What about career? A good career can give your life meaning, can't it? That's the promise from our society, the promise from our culture. A good career sets you up. It gives your life meaning. It allows you the wonderful accomplishments. It gives you wealth and status and comfort. A good, fulfilling, and successful career that's a successful life, isn't it? That's a good life. What about family? Family is often held up as the good life. Maybe the ideal is to be married. Maybe that is held up as being, attaining the good life. Or to have children is the good life. Or to have, the 2.3 kids, the dog, the fish, and live in the suburbs. That is the good life, having a tight family unit. That's good living. What about owning a home? That's the great Australian dream, isn't it? You know you've made it in life, certainly for my generation, you've made it in life when you've got the keys to your own home. Because this is security. This is security for your life. This is safety for your life. This is anchor for your family life together. And people are consumed by the idea, I've got to buy property. I've got to buy a house. That will give me the good life, the true life, authentic life. Maybe for those of us who are not so interested in property, maybe this next one, travel, because you kind of can't do both. To travel the world is the good life, isn't it? Travel experiences make you a better person. The friend who's just come back from trekking in Nepal or something, they're just a better person now, aren't they? In theory, travel makes you less selfish. You see the amazing places in the world that have just got to be seen. You come home with the amazing stories. You come home with the photos, more and more and more photos. To have the experiences, to have ridden the whales and, seen the elephants, whatever it is. Travel the world is the good life. To travel is to live. What about retirement? Some of you in this room have never thought about retirement. Some of you, I imagine, think about this nearly every day. Just as a teenager might think, when I finally finish school, or I finally finish uni, or I finally get a job and I'm an adult, life begins. All those who are then working think, oh, when I finally finish working, my life will begin. The good life, The golden years, I've earned it. There's a retirement village that's just been built near where Michelle's parents live, out near Camden. And apparently it's a really great retirement village. But the sign that went up on the side of the road advertising this place says, "Retire without compromise." Like, gee, that looks good. And they're winning all kinds of awards, and their houses are spectacular, and the grounds are spectacular, and their community events are spectacular. And it sounds amazing. Imagine finishing the hard grind of work and just sitting back at ease. I've retired. I'm living without compromise. Doesn't that sound good? Isn't that life? I can give you the details of that place later if anyone's interested. All these things are good. Don't hear me say these are bad. All these things can be really good. But they are sold to us as life. True life. Authentic life. Sources of life. And just like Coke, they cannot deliver. Education. Education is wonderful. Teachers out there, keep doing your thing. Education is great. It helps so many people around the world, but it cannot protect you from the brokenness in our world. It cannot solve the world's problems that are just so mired with sin. Having the highest level of education or going to the best school will never protect you in a car accident. It will never protect you when dementia comes knocking at the door and everything you have learnt fades away. Going to the best school, the best course at university, will not give you lasting life. Having a job and a career is a good thing. Earning money to support your family is a wonderful thing. But as they say, money cannot buy you happiness. No one lying there on their deathbed wishes they had worked more or gone one rung higher in their career. Because if you're trying to find your life in your career, you're trying to find meaning for your life in your career, what will happen when you get a bad boss? Your life would go down the toilet. What happens when your accomplishments fade? What happens when the deal goes bad? Or you end up with the dud class? Or the pressure from your from the system or the superiors? What happens when you face unemployment or redundancy? Well, then, obviously, that cannot be your life, can it? Family is wonderful. Family is a good gift from God, but family can let you down. Parents in the room, the children that you pour your heart and soul into grow up and they won't need you anymore. Relationships can sour. Marriages can sour. Brother and sister relationships can sour. Parent and sibling relationships can fracture. Family can never be the true source of life that we hope it to be. Even grandchildren, can I say. Buying a home is good, but if we're honest, it does not actually bring the security we think it does. My cousin found this out 2 weeks ago. Her house burnt down and everything in it. From a faulty barbecue to an absolute inferno. Owning a house will not bring you true life. Travel is great. This is my one. This is the one that gets me. Travel ads are just, they do it for me. Travel is amazing, but memories fade. You know how, you know, you go on this most amazing trip and you come back home and you just start thinking about the next one or wishing you were back there. You've got all these photos, but you never really look at them. And you're just never satisfied with it. You've got to go back for more and more and more. Another country, another photo, another fix. It's like a drug. It will not give you life. It's good, but it will not give your life meaning. Retirement. Retiring well is a wonderful thing, but it cannot be the goal of your life. It cannot be the thing that your hope is set on, because you may not be well enough to enjoy it. The golden years, they call it, yes, but the golden years tarnish. There can be sickness. There can be all sorts of things. If your hope is in retirement, your hope is misplaced. Ultimately, all of these things fail, and everything else, I've only listed, I don't know, six or seven, everything else that we can try and find our life in will fail on two counts. One, they don't actually live up to the promises that they make. And two, they end with death. They have no lasting value and no lasting life. They are fake life. They're also, you know, they're so attractive, but they are fake life. They are counterfeit. They're like shiny Christmas decorations. Like, they look great, but it's just dodgy plastic. But Jesus offers life, true life, real life, lasting, eternal life. And so the big question coming from our passage tonight is, have you found your life in Jesus Christ? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. As we've seen across John's gospel so far, Jesus is no ordinary man. He looked like one for those who saw just with their physical eyes, but those who could see deeper, who God had given the Spirit to understand, no, Jesus was so much more. He was the Holy One sent by God to bring life to a world marred by sin and brokenness and death. Jesus says in John chapter 5, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Jesus offers life. Jesus promises life, but he doesn't just promise, he delivers. He went to the ultimate end so that he can deliver. He went to the cross. Jesus died so that we can live. His death was the sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sin. His body was broken to give us life. His blood gushed out to give us life. And that's why he can say that his body is true blood, his body is true food, and his blood is true drink. Not because we eat them physically, but because they give us sustenance for eternal life. He died to give us life, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And by his resurrection, we are made alive who trust in him. And we have the certain expectation, the certain knowledge of being that we will one day be raised with him. If we are following Jesus, we will be raised on the last day. If we're following Jesus, we are now on our way to heaven. That is our home. That is our destination. That is where our life will be so secure. And you see, this is what Jesus offers to our world full of brokenness and pain and hurt. He offers lasting life. And we will be able to say with Peter, where else can we go? We can only go to Jesus. So our big question is, have you found your life in Jesus Christ? But this passage also comes with a warning. Did you see the crowds turn their back on Jesus because they didn't want what he was offering? He said he had to die to bring life. And they thought, that's ridiculous. Not only did the crowds turn their back on Jesus, one of Jesus' own closest friends did that too. Did you see that there? At the end of verse 70, Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. One of Jesus' closest friends knew everything that I have just said tonight. He was with Jesus as he went around all the different places, all around Galilee and Jerusalem. He was with Jesus as Jesus taught. He was with Jesus as he did the miracles. He heard Jesus' promises. But in the end, he was more consumed by what he could gain in this life. He was more consumed by the wealth he could get his hands on in this life. He did not want what Jesus was offering. And I fear that that can be the same for someone who not just who went around with Jesus for those years, but who has sat in these seats for many years, maybe even for decades. That is the danger for someone even who stands up here. To know all these things, but to not actually find our life in Jesus, but to just keep getting dragged off by those other counterfeit lives, those other counterfeit promises. Judas, then, not just the villain of the gospel story, the one who betrays Jesus, Judas is actually a warning to you and to me. Have you heard Jesus' offer of life? If you have, how have you responded? I'm so glad that so many of us here maybe have responded to Jesus' offer decades and decades ago and are living in faith. But maybe some of us here have never yet done that. Tonight is the night. Take hold of the promises that Jesus offers life. Call out to him and ask him for life. Call out to him and ask him for forgiveness. Cry out to God, our Heavenly Father, and say, God, help me to see Jesus clearly for what he really is and not to be captivated by those other counterfeit lives. Come and talk to me. Respond to this offer today. And for those of us who are trusting Jesus, keep your eyes on him. Because those other counterfeit offers of life, they're so tempting. I feel the pull of them. I want those things, and they're good things. But I want to find my life in them. But where else can we go? Jesus is the one with the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have sent your Son to bring life to this broken world. Please forgive us for the times that we are dragged off by these enticing things and just try to find our life, meaningful life, true life in them. Help us to see them for what they are, good gifts from you, but never, never able to give us life, eternal life. Help us to find that entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.